Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we will continue our studies in the varied ministry of the Spirit of God to the children of God, to His saints, to the church particularly, as found in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. And if you have your Bibles near at hand, I think you will profit much by just reading the Scriptures. What I say is not so important, but what you see in the Scriptures is indeed important. And today we're going to consider the Spirit of God as our intercessor. We've considered Him as our helper, indweller, leader, communicator. And now today, the intercessor. And notice, please, that that word is used. The word intercession, rather, is used in verse 26 of the 8th chapter of Romans. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He intercedes for us in prayer. Now, I don't think that we will really appreciate the force and the beauty and the blessing of this verse unless we relate it to its context. And so we will go immediately up to verse 17 of this 8th chapter of Romans and read down to these wonderful, precious verses. And we read there, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation," in the King James it's the creature, but in down in verse farther down it's creation, and they're all the same word in the Greek. I'm going to read it each time as the creation, the animate creation that God has created. "For the earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creation was made subject to vanity by the fall of Adam," of course, not willingly, "but by reason of him who hath subjected the same, in hope, because the creation itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and traveleth in pain together unto now." The groaning creation, the animate creation, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, the margin has it more correctly, in that hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. For when a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? He's got it. Hope is realized when he can see it. But we're looking for something that can't be seen at the moment. What is that something? I think that it's quite evident here that it is the kingdom reign of our Lord Jesus Christ, the millennial reign of our Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. That is the blessed hope. Now, the hope is really twofold for the Christian. The hope, for in the first place, is the blessed hope of the return of the Lord and of our rapture into the air. We'll consider that on our next broadcast. Our rapture into the air to meet the Lord. And that is the hope that we're looking for. But it will only trigger the more blessed hope of that coming kingdom. For after the church is raptured, at least 7 years afterwards, and the tribulation is endured, the 70th week of Daniel, then the Lord comes back to this earth to establish His kingdom right here where we live and move and breathe and have our being, right on this earth. This earth is going to be blessed. His kingdom is going to be realized. But now it's a different story. There is the trauma. There is the pain. There is the sorrow of the fall of Adam and the sin that he brought into the human race, even affecting animals. Animals are affected by the fall. Those noted in music and its structure say that the birds sing in a minor key. the animals that originally were herbivorous, Genesis 1 and 30, became carnivorous, I think would be profit to read Genesis 1:30. We read there, "And to every beast of the field, to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat." And it was so. Now, they fed all of them, all that had life, fed upon those green herbs. They were herbivorous. But after sin came in, animals became carnivorous, and they fed upon one another. And certainly, that is going to be stopped in the kingdom. They became carnivorous then, but they will become herbivorous in the kingdom. Now, the moral conditions of our age speak of the coming of our king, of the Lord's kingdom, and they make us long for it. Certainly, there is every hope to believe that he will soon be coming. And now, the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ generates hope, even now, as we read. And the animals are going to be changed. It's going to be wonderful in that coming kingdom. Let's talk about it a little. The animals are going to be changed back in the 11th chapter of Isaiah's prophecy. And he is the prince of the prophets. We read there of that coming kingdom, verse 5 of the 11th chapter of Isaiah, "And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins." He's talking about the king, our Lord Jesus Christ. "The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid." Nor are they carnivorous? No, they're not. "And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox." He'll become herbivorous. The king of the carnivore, he will become herbivorous again. "And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp." Yes, that asp is not going to hurt that child. "And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, and as the waters cover the earth." Oh, what days are coming. But what of it now? We're not there yet. We're groaning yet. We have the words groaning here, and isn't it interesting that the Spirit just keeps right on with the word groaning? You know, it's not a sin to groan. It's a sin to grumble, because we're in rebellion against the circumstances that perhaps God controls, unless we ourselves can create the circumstances. If we sin, if we make errors and have to suffer for our sin, then we made our bed and we have to lie in it. We shouldn't grumble, should we? I believe we do, though. But we should not grumble, but we can groan. And the Spirit groans right along with us there in that 8th chapter of Romans. Now, this is the age. This is the distress of the age that we're in. We read it. We pick it up there in that 18th verse. "I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." The sufferings of this present time, what are a few of them? Well, consider the trauma of divorce, where children essentially lose one of their parents. Perhaps the mother gets the custody of the children, but she has to leave them to make a living for her family. Think of how those children suffer to give up a daddy or a mama and essentially lose them. Sometimes I think death would be easier. Then there's the moral decline of our age, even in the last 2 decades. And sin is such a cruel taskmaster. Drugs are ruining lives. And the gang warfares and murders about the drugs are wreaking havoc in our society. Sexual crimes, even against children, are appalling. Genocide is occurring in nations and among nations. The moral disease of AIDS is gaining ground and is imposing a tax burden upon decent people. Need we say any more? Need we go any further? These are the characteristics of our age. No wonder, he says, There I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Paul in his second epistle to Timothy, his beloved Timothy, the young man, he tells him there, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Do you know that in some of our larger cities today, that people are not safe in going out on the streets out of their own homes in the nighttime? That is absolutely true, and it occurs even in Washington, D.C., the capital of this nation. In the last days, perilous times shall come, and these days are upon us. The days of sorrow, the days of groaning in the animal creation, in men, among men, groaning because of the reason of the fall and the entrance of sin into the world. Now, the Spirit takes over. We read in verse 28 again, and it'll certainly bear repetition, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings, and I might add prayers, which cannot be uttered. Think of that, if you will, please. The Spirit takes over. I know in some of the times in my prayers concerning the distress of this age, I simply run out of words. But where I have to leave off, the Spirit takes up and he prays for us. And even our Lord Jesus prays for us. He, in the 17th chapter of John's Gospel, he says, I pray for them, for those that the Lord and his Father had given him. I pray not for the world, but I pray for these that you've given me. He is praying for us. The Spirit is praying for us. Can you feel the burden lifted sometimes? Do you know why I think maybe when you're under a burden and it seems to be lifted? I'm wondering, is it because the Spirit has been praying for you? Don't you think God answers the Spirit's prayer? Well, he is God. We read there, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So here we have the Spirit praying for us. And I feel that I have known periods when he was praying for me because the burden was lifted and I didn't know why. Let's consider the gracious ministry of the Spirit of God and give him place in our lives and not quench him, not crowd him into a corner, but give him room to act in his blessed ministry. Our Father, today we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus for the ministry of thy Spirit that you've given to be our indweller. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.